introduce. Caitlin's coming to share a message, which is obviously we're honouring the life of Pastor Ricky, but it's not a reflection, and you know, it's an inspiration that's from. You know what I mean? That we're stirred by that. We've been using this year to particularly do what God's told us to do, and one of the things is to disciple together. Disciple together. And we've really, you know, been looking, and particularly the book of Hebrews, where it talks about that church was exhorted to keep going strong and to do it together, to really connect. But in Hebrews 11, we have a classic chapter where the church was reminded, you're not just doing it together with those that are around you, you're doing it together with those that have gone before. It's a really unusual concept. The whole thing is like, it doesn't sort of say, listen, they went before and you should remember them. It says they are cheering you on. They are, you know, you run with their cheers in your heart. Do you know what I mean? You're stirred. And they're not, you know, those that have gone before are not sitting back and saying, well, in my day, we used to do it like this, you know, and you ought to do it. It's not that type of, you know, cheering. It's a, we ran, now it's in your hands. Go for it. Run hard. Take the gospel. You know, and I really appreciate the way the whole service has gone. And it's really, it's even my heart's been filled with faith and a fresh vision for what God's plan is to bring the glory of God to our church, to this region. And so I really appreciate that Caitlin can come and share. And this is really part of our discipling together. Together with those around us, but also together with those that have gone before. So thank you, Caitlin. Dominic, I'll get that for you. You come and let's give Caitlin a welcome here.
There we go. On. Thank you so much for the that welcome. Oh, I had got my mic so ready, and I was like, yeah, I'm not getting my hair tangled this time. And as soon as I come on stage, there you go. Thank you. Well, as Dad or Pastor Peter said, it's genuinely my honour to be able to preach today and to be able to honour my grandfather, Pastor David Ricky. I think today, so if you don't know, so my name is Caitlin and I am Pastor Ricky's granddaughter. So I'll probably interchange my message from saying Pastor Ricky, Grandpa, Pastor Ricky, Grandpa. Same person. I'm not honouring two different people. I'll probably interchange. But before I get started, can I invite the super kids to go and be blessed, and you can go enjoy your lesson today. You've got a great fun day today planned. And would you mind passing me my water? There. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, settle in, folks. I had a double strength short black, so I'm ready to preach. No, welcome. Well, I'm really excited today. Well, why don't we just start by praying and inviting the King of Glory. This, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the amazing time we've already had in your presence, Lord, this morning. I thank you for those that have brought a supply of the Spirit and your words already to us today. Lord, I thank you that we can continue in that flow, and the Holy Spirit, you just speak through me today. Lord, I thank you, God, for your words, for that which you have, Lord, to say to us today. Lord, I thank you. I give all you all my notes, Lord, that whatever Holy Spirit you have for us, Lord, that is what we can tap into and speak out, Lord, that your rhema word of life for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, so we've talked about Pastor Ricky a little bit already this morning. I've loved what everyone has already shared about him and stories of his life. And as Caleb said at the start, now some of you might not have been here, but there's probably a lot of people in here who never actually met Pastor Ricky in person. We did this at the start, but I wanted to get a show of hands if you did actually meet my grandfather, Pastor Ricky. We've got a few hands, and we've got some people online saying they baptized them and people that he knew online. But I would love to say that even if you're sitting here today and watching online, and maybe you have never actually met him in person, I would love to tell you that he prayed for you, that he might not have known you, but he saw you in his spirit, and he prayed for you. And that's such an amazing thing to connect with, to say, I might not have known him, but in a sense, he knew me. Not in a creepy, weird way, but in a way of he prayed and he saw the people of this church that were coming. He saw you in the future and he prayed for so many things beyond what he lived to see in the natural. And he prayed for you. So I thought I'd give before we get into a message, a really quick background on some key points of who he is, to invite you into the incredible man who is Pastor Ricky, and then along with that, my grandmother, Pastor Olive Ricky, and they ministered together for so many years. And the reason we're speaking today is because December last year marked 15 years since he was promoted into glory. I cried all my tears during my preparation. I cried them all out in preparation, but we've got tissues ready in case they come out today. December last year was marked 15 years since his passing, and we wanted to do something to honor him. And this was also his birthday weekend. So what the 24th of March would have been, actually not sure how old he would have been, but his 88th birthday would have been last Thursday. So we thought this was a great weekend to be able to honor him. And as Dad said, as we're pushing forward, we're going with those in the past and those who have gone before us today. So a little history, so you might not know him, but he was an incredible pastor, husband, father, grandfather. As Brooke said, his swipey card took us to many places. He was an amazing sports fan. My memory of one of our last conversations with him, obviously Mum and Dad went and visited him later on that evening, but one of our last conversations with him was about cricket. Was Caleb and him discussing the cricket team that day and who was going out in cricket. He was an incredible person. He loved coffee. He one of the most generous men I've ever met. As we said, he would generous to everybody around him. One of my favorite memories is he would always come and take us out for afternoon tea after school. So when I came out from class at 3:30, and if I saw Grandpa standing there, it would be like, yay, it's a Grandpa afternoon tea day. And he would take us down to Forest Hill. We would get a crab stick and he'd get a coffee. And it was just, I've got a soft spot for crab sticks forever. I would never say no to one because that was my Grandpa afternoon tea. Pastor said I should have got a double strength crab stick in honor of him. But that was our afternoon ritual. Sometimes I'd match my crab stick with a hot chocolate. And I just thought that was wonderful. I don't know if I could continue doing that, but that was our memories growing up. But he was also, the thing that we knew him most for was he loved Jesus. He lived and breathed Jesus. He loved people. Everywhere you went, you couldn't talk to him without Jesus coming up in the conversation. He loved his Jesus, and he loved his church, and he loved God's church. So that's what we're going to speak about today. And a bit of background, so for those who don't know, so this church, which was used to be called Blackburn AOG, was established on the 29th of June in 1969. But then as Brooke mentioned briefly, Pastor Ricky had moved to New Zealand with his family, as pastor in a church of 800, but God called him here to take over running a very small church. I think there was like 12 people or something that made up Blackburn AOG. And there was nobody under 60. Oh, so 12 people included Pastor Ricky's family. So, and there was nobody except Pastor Ricky's family who was under 60. So he came to take over Blackburn AOG in January of 1977, was appointed the senior pastor, and then he, for 30 years, he gave incredible faithful service to what became Breakthrough Church during his time here. And he served wholeheartedly. A few years before his death, Pastor Peter took over as senior pastor, but Pastor Ricky continued serving as an associate pastor throughout that time, right up until his promotion to glory in December 2006. And I wanted to read out, before I read out this, I've got a few photos just so we can enjoy his some memories of him. So if you don't know him, that's Pastor Ricky and his wife Olive, my grandmother. Him preaching, you can go through to the next ones. We've got a few to come up. That's him with his family, with his incredible ministers from America and different places around the world who he got to minister with. You might see some familiar faces pop up. Him with his family. He loved his family. And I think one more coming up here. You might see, there we go, there's the good shot. Some special, some familiar faces. You might see someone on the left who we recognize. You, Graham, there today. And actually, so this one I just want to highlight. This is highlighting a few people who were very dear to Pastor's heart, Glenn and Holly Duncan, who have since moved and are ministering in America now. But because they couldn't be here, they sent a little thing for me to read out today to honor Grandpa. They said, Pastor Ricky was our beloved spiritual father. He was so instrumental in our lives during our time in Australia, and we're so grateful that God tucked us under his and Ollie's care for those several special years of our life. God used him to lay strong foundation in our lives. Pastor was very deliberate in telling us not to let anyone get us off God's character building process and to put us on a stage or platform before character could support the move of God in our lives. Pay the price for the foundation and build it strong. One favorite thing Pastor would regularly say as reading the Bible in service was, "Let's take a look at Luke," with that great smile of his. And I was told that when you say, "Let's take a look at Luke," there was a particular way that you had to say it. And I don't know if I remember how that said. So, look at Luke. Let's take a look at Luke, is what he used to say. Look at Luke. So we just wanted to read that out of honor. So it's Glenn and Holly Duncan. You've got a few more faces, Judith and Graham, Luke in there, and obviously our pastors as well. So we want to honor him today and thank him. But today, in honoring him, this is not a memorial service. So this isn't a service where, you know, we'll have lots of people come up and share, you know, this is my favorite memory of him. But this is a way to honor his legacy and his message, and to say how as we breakthrough can continue on with that, and how we can live that message out, and how we can go forward with that. So I wanted to share a bit today of the things that were in my heart. And when I think of Grandpa's message, and I was thinking about him and thinking about his life, there was two things that came to my mind immediately. There was a lot of things that he was known for, but there was two things that immediately came to my mind when I think of Grandpa's message. And that's number one, there'll be a slide for this, his love for giving the Holy Spirit freedom to move, and two, his passion to see a revival in Australia. There were two things I believe he was known for, and that with his heart, and I love that our service today has given the Holy Spirit freedom to move, and we've seen that at work today, and particularly his passion to see revival in Australia was burning in his heart. And I remember as I was preparing, I would remember in our old building at church where I would sit there, and I'll sit there in the second row because I was one of the timbrel players, and the timbrel players sat in the second row of the church. Not that we haven't changed at all, but that was where I would sit. And I remember watching from that second row, I remember watching my grandpa preach and watching him speak. And I remember him speaking about revival and speaking about the Holy Spirit moving. And I still remember as a child, I was sitting there and my spirit was leaping at what he was saying. I still remember the feeling of just sitting there and just absolutely just glued to my grandpa and what he was saying, and the passion for revival and the passion to see Australia filled with his glory, his passion for the glory of the Lord and his presence. And I remember my spirit just leaping as he would preach and share. So today I want to share a little bit of one of those, particularly focusing on this part of revival and to taking the glory out. And it's actually amazing what the Holy Spirit has shared already through Caleb and Brooke and Mum and the different people that have shared this morning, because it literally would be like they've read my notes, which they haven't, because almost everything I'm going to share today was already touched on earlier today. And I just think the Holy Spirit, that's amazing, because the Holy Spirit is so sharing a message for us today, and has got something to say about God taking this spirit of revival and taking the glory and taking it out to our communities. So to start off my message, I'm actually going to hand over to Pastor Ricky, and I'm going to play just a four minutes of a message of his that is actually available on our app and on our website, which we'll direct you to later, called Pulling the King's Carriage. And it's a really instrumental message for him that he preached at our church, which was Blackburn AOG, and he preached for our church and to our church and had a real prophetic direction. And I'm actually just going to play a few minutes of it. Back then we only have audio, we don't have video, so there will be a slide up here. But I would love you to listen just for the next few minutes to hear Pastor Ricky share for this church back then, but just as much for today, and then we'll go from there. So thank you, media team.
I love the word. And I want to live by this word. I just want to encourage us this morning. There is a mission. We're not just here to, you know, to while away a whole hour of a Sunday. We're here as a part of the overall mission. Living stones being built together for God to believe. And what I do understand is this, that because His presence is in the midst of His people, there will be a flow. The whole teaching of Jesus in the early part of Matthew 5 has to do with conduct, has to do with our attitudes. But it also, when he starts to speak about spirit and light, he's talking about a city. A city is made up of houses set on a hill. What is he saying? He's saying you are there to have influence.
I think it's about Matthew 5:30. And he spoke about being salt.
Now we need to see this. We need to see this. We need to have this in our minds. What is God on about? What is His objective? What is His purpose? What is His mission? He goes through a mission and He's focused. And I believe that God is still the mission that He brought us back in 1976 from New Zealand to see fulfilled in this area of Melbourne. That mission, I believe, is still yet to reach its zenith. It's still yet to reach its apex. It's still yet to reach its zenith.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
God wants to raise up a spiritual, strong spiritual house of sons that are going to help build the house and help preserve and protect the house.
You know, all of us can have, we may be doing different things, but it's a little bit like the man who was part of a building program, and somebody said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just building a wall. Somebody else asked the question, and he was doing a similar job, and he said, I'm building something that's glorious. All became a matter of perspective. Doing the same work with a different perspective. We've got to understand what church is about, what this local church is about. It's all about God building a house for Him to dwell in, for the family to be in, but for Him to dwell in, for His glory to be there, to become a city. A city of light, to become a place that is so clean.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With that, and I've been listening to that message, and I'd love at the end we'll show you where you can listen to the rest of that message, and I'd love to encourage you to go and listen to it because that was such a foundational message for our church. But that concept, when I was listening, I was praying, I said, Lord, there's so much of Grandpa that I would love to honor today. There's so much of his message that I'd love to speak about. And the thing that just kept coming up in my heart was that phrase that he said at the very start of that, which is amazing because it's been said actually without them knowing that earlier in the meeting. And it says the phrase that kept going off, because his presence is in the midst of his people, there will be influence on the outside. Because his presence is in the midst of his people, there will be influence on the outside. And as I was just praying place, I was saying, Lord, what of Grandpa's message? Are you wanting us to take on and to focus on today? And that concept, I was thinking about the concept of revival, but then this concept of, because his presence is in the midst of his people, there will be influence on the outside. That line there will be influence on the outside. And I just felt the Lord was encouraging us today to say, because his presence is here, there will be influence in our community. There'll be influence in those around us. And then I started thinking, and the Lord started asking me questions. Is our community different because we are here? Is your community different because you are in it? Are we just living quietly in this little area and submitting to sort of everything around us? Or are we being influencers in this region? Is Breakthrough Church just sitting here, and I'm not saying it is, I'm just challenging us, but is Breakthrough just sitting here sort of quietly, just sort of, oh, don't notice us, we're just here in the corner, Bayswater, we don't want to intrude, we're just sort of quietly sitting here in the corner of the room? Or are we coming, are we being, as Grandpa said in that message, just sitting on a hill? Are we being salt in this area of the community? Is this church, is because we are here, is Bayswater different? Is our community different because we are here? Have we made an influence? Are we influencing now this eastern region? Or in your life where God has placed you, is your community, is your workplace, is your family different because you are there? Because you are there, is there an influence around it? And I love thinking about Jesus's life. When Jesus came, he did not come quietly to the earth. He, like, you know, I know there's a sense he came from a hum. He didn't come loudly like they expected him to come. He came in the manger and he came in humble beginnings. But his life was loud. His life was not quiet. They expected him to come with all the bells and whistles of a king. But he didn't come that way. But he came and was loud in a different way. He came and he did not quietly just sort of sit in the corner of the earth and say, look, I don't want to intrude. I'm just quietly going to walk my 33 years here. I don't want to step on toes. You've already got a culture. You've already got things you do. I'm new here. Hey, I'm going to sit in the back and listen. I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to learn from you, and I'm going to quietly just come and live my life here. Jesus came loudly. He came and he influenced the world like we'd never seen. His life, because of him, the community around him was different. Everywhere Jesus went, he influenced, and there was change everywhere he went. Every town had the opportunity to be totally different depending when Jesus had come through it. Now, there were people that resisted that change, but everywhere Jesus went, there were people that were changed forever because he came and stepped into that area. And I believe God is calling us to say, as we've been talking about this morning and in that message, to say, we've got the presence of the Lord here, but not just having the presence and the King of the glory, you know, not just having the glory and the presence of the Lord here, but because his presence is in us, there needs to be influence on the outside. And because his presence is here, there is change everywhere we go. Everywhere we step into, every community we're a part of should be different because we're in it. Every workplace I'm a part of should be different because I'm in it. Every school I'm a part of, every soccer club I'm a part of, every sports team, every friendship circle I'm in should be different because I'm in it. And that's not because I'm incredible, and that's not because I'm going to bring my winning personality and all my humor and my jokes to my friendship circle, and that my workplace isn't going to be funnier because I'm there, or it's not going to be more organized because I'm there. I'm saying because I'm a carrier of his presence, because the presence of the Lord is in me, everywhere I go, I should be expecting that to influence out where I am. When we look at Acts 2, the incredible Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, they might have it up here, otherwise I'll just read it out here. In Acts 2, in verse 17, and it says, so the Holy Spirit has just come and they have got the presence of the Lord here. Instead of what in the past they've been following Jesus and Jesus has been walking in the Spirit, now they have the Spirit in them. Now they're not just following Jesus, now the Holy Spirit is in them and equipping them as it equipped Jesus. And in verse 17, and it says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants. And in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent days. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I love that the part there when it says, and I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. So this is what Jesus said. And then if you continue through Acts, all those disciples and the people that were there, they then went with that word and that empowerment of the Spirit, and they influenced everywhere they went. You know, it wasn't long after that, in chapter 3, so just after that, Peter has said this, and then in verse 1, they meet the lame beggar, and you all will probably know the story. Peter and John were going up the temple at the hour of prayer, and a man lame from birth was being carried when they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he looked on them expecting to receive money. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk." And I just love that concept that the Holy Spirit come. The prophecy is that now, you know, as the Spirit is within us, the Lord wants to pour out his Spirit and pour out miracles and pour out his blessing upon people. So they are equipped with the Spirit and they go out. And suddenly as Peter and John go out, they're influencing. They're influencing the community there are. Everywhere they walk is different because they are there. And I believe the phrase we had at the start, because they're carrying his presence. Because they're carrying his Spirit. So because his Spirit, because his presence is in the midst of his people, there will be influence on the outside. So I just want to encourage us this morning. I'm not telling you, oh, come on, do better. Influence your communities. I'm not saying that. I'm saying realize what is within you and start lifting your expectations and tapping into the power and the Spirit that is within you. This isn't a condemnation to say, oh, man, I'm sorry, I'm not doing good enough. This is saying, what am I doing? The Holy Spirit, the power, the presence is within me, and I'm going to lift my expectation, and I'm going to start tapping into that with faith and saying, I expect to bring influence. I expect for change. I expect the outside to be influenced and the communities and the people around me to be influenced because I'm carrying his presence, because I'm carrying his Spirit, because I'm carrying his glory. You know, Grandpa said, because his presence is in the midst of his people, there will be influence. So I want to ask us, are we carrying his presence everywhere we go? Am I carrying his presence everywhere I go? Or is his presence something I come and enter into on a Sunday morning and then sort of shake it off and exit as I leave? Is it like a glory cloud where I enter into it, I bask, I get lifted up, and then I shimmy out and go live my day, live my week, and then come back to bask in the next Sunday morning. Or is his presence something that I'm carrying with me everywhere I go? Am I always aware of his presence? Is his presence welcome everywhere I go? Is my life and my heart welcoming his presence? Because as I'm carrying his presence, there will be influence. There will be influence and change around me. But as my life and as my heart welcoming his presence everywhere I go. You know, just before in service when we were praying this, and I was praying, I was on my knees and I was worshiping, and the Lord was challenging me. He said, let your heart, and he asked me that question, is your heart always welcoming my presence? Or are there things in my heart that are going to be working against the presence of the Lord? Is my heart full of bitterness? Is it full of fear? Is it full of worry? Is it full of lies? Is my heart just full of things, of world, of stuff? So that I'm actually not giving my space. I can't be sort of carrying his presence, and I can't be full of his presence everywhere I go, because in me is a myriad of things that his presence can't sit with. If my heart is full of bitterness and frustration and anger, His presence isn't welcome there. His presence can't coexist with these things in my heart. And he was just speaking to me and saying, oh, just give it all to me and let your heart be somewhere where my presence is welcome. May I be someone who is carrying his presence everywhere I go. Everywhere I walk, may I be carrying his presence. May his presence in as a church. You know, on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday, whenever you're meeting as a church, is his presence welcome in the midst of us? I believe it is without a doubt, and this is something that our church has been set as a foundation, that his presence and glory is always welcome. Oh, but we can always lift it. We can always take it up a notch. You know, am I hungering for his glory and presence in our midst? Or am I just going through the motions and coming and going? Or am I being a carrier of his presence? Are we inviting and welcoming his presence here? So when we have his presence in our midst, his glory, it could be another word to say, when his glory is in our midst, there will be influence on the outside because of his presence. Because of that, there will be influence. But not just, sometimes I think, and there is a sense of a spiritual, there's a God just sending his spirit. There's a sense of where, because it's here, his presence and glory literally just goes and invades homes. And I believe that 100%. There'll be times when people are sitting there and suddenly they get just an absolute revelation of the Lord's presence and they have no idea what, but we've just been praying and that the glory of God has just hit a home. But I believe a huge way for that influence to happen is not for me just to sit there and send out the presence, send out the glory, but for me to be a carrier and to bring that influence, to be a bringer of that change around me. I said at the start, one of the things that I remember, Caleb was just saying that he wanted to highlight that when he shared that word earlier, he had no idea what I was going to speak about. He had no idea that when he said the word influence, he had no idea that that was what I was sharing. So the Lord is highlighting this to us today. He is sharing this with us today. When I said earlier that one of the things I remember so much of Grandpa is his heart and passion for revival. And revival can be something that we, you know, can almost be a Christianese term that we say a lot. You know, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord, for revival, revival, calling for revival. But sometimes we don't actually know what we're praying for. Sometimes we don't actually know what that is. It's just a, yeah, revival, yeah, big fun meeting. Woo, that was revival. Hallelujah, go home. And, you know, revival comes in all forms, and there is aspects of a revival that will come in big meetings, that will come in amazing encounters, that will come in just moments where you have just encountered and had a one-on-one experience of the glory of God. But one of the, purposes and definition of revival, I looked up the definition of revival, and one of the definitions is a restoration to life or consciousness, a restoration to life. Reviving, a bringing to life. And when we're praying for revival in this eastern region, when we're praying for revival, I believe this just goes hand in hand with what we're saying. I'm saying I want to be a carrier of his presence, a carrier of the spirit of revival, because I want to bring the spirit of life and to the communities I'm in. Because when I step out into my community, and because of his presence, I want to influence by bringing life to the community around me, because I want to bring the spirit of life, because I want, it's something coming alive again in our community, and our community is pretty dead in so many ways, and it's us coming and bringing a spirit and a reawakening and something to come alive again. It could be health, it could be bodies, it could be spirits, it could be minds, it could be souls, it could be families, it could be finances. And when I come in and I'm a carrier of his presence, I influence by life. Things coming to life around me, bodies coming alive again, minds coming alive, spirits coming alive again. That which is in the community and that which is dead, we come and we bring his presence, we carry his presence, we bring that spirit of revival, and we bring life to those around us. We bring a sense of life to our community in the name of Jesus. As Peter did when he with the lame beggar, he came and he brought life to his community around him. He was carrying the spirit. He was carrying the presence of God. And as he walked out, there was sickness and he brought life to it. He brought revival. He revived that man's. And he brought revival. He brought a spirit of life, a restoration of life. That which was dead, he came. And because of the spirit brought it to life in the name of Jesus. You look through Acts. You look through the New Testament. And it is people walking around and bringing life to their communities, restoring life to those around them. And I don't want to be someone who just comes here, and basks in the glory and then goes. I want to be a carrier of His glory. I want to be a carrier of His presence so that I can be an influence, so that no community around me remains the same. I don't want any workplace to be dead around me. I want to be stepping into my workplace and restoring life. Where there's hopelessness, I want to bring hope. Where there is sickness, I want to be the vessel to bring healing. Where there is minds that are just absolutely closed and suffering, I want to bring clarity and healing, and I want to be the source to bring healing and restoration. Where there's families broken around me, as I come, I want to influence and bring the spirit of life and restoration back to families around us in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you might be sending someone in your workplace and his marriage is breaking and his marriage is just going to pieces, but because you were there, you were breathing life. And there you can bring restoration to marriages, to people in your workplaces. You can bring things to life. And ultimately, all of those signs and wonders lead to the fact that we want to bring spirits back to life for Jesus. We want to bring life to souls and spirits. And the signs and the wonders can come to lead people to their spiritual encountering and awakening with the Almighty God, with the King of Glory himself. So I just want to encourage us today. Can we just put that phrase up again? Because his presence is in the midst of his people, there will be influence on the outside. That is a call of breakthrough. Because his spirit, because his presence is here, it's in the midst of us, but he's in the midst of me, and I am a carrier of that presence. And as I walk out, it will bring influence to our community, because I am a carrier of the spirit of life, because I am a carrier of the spirit of revival, because I'm a carrier of his presence. And we are going to bring influence and life to the communities around us in the name of Jesus. You know, I was thinking before this meeting, when we had this on our hearts to honor Pastor David, and we're thinking, what can I do? And I said, oh, you know, can I have people come up and tell stories of his life? Can we, you know, should I have a moment silence of remembering, you know, his life? Should people write messages? And those are all wonderful things that you can do in different moments. But then I just realized that the way Grandpa would want his life on it is to take the message and live it out. To take the message and take it further than he could ever bring it. To take up the mandate and say, yes, he loved this church. He loved you. He loved breakthrough. And can I say, he saw so much in his spirit that breakthrough would be a pivotal part of bringing revival into this community. He saw breakthrough. He saw the influence that breakthrough would have in the Eastern region. He saw it in his spirit. He might not be here on this side of earth to see it come to pass in the natural, but he saw it in the spirit and he's cheering us on. And I believe there's a mandate and a foundation set. And I feel a sickle thorshing. It's not just like, oh, that was nice, he really had a passion for that. No, there was a prophetic direction and a prophetic empowerment for this church. There was a God-breathed empowerment for us to bring an influence into this region, into our communities. It was the prophetic ability for us to step out because he saw it in his spirit. He prophesied it. He saw where God was taking us. And he was cheering us on and saying, be a carrier of his spirit. Be a carrier of his spirit. So I'm asking church today to say yes. Yes, Lord, I want to be a carrier of my presence. What can I do? As we said before, can I just ask my own heart, and am I welcoming the presence of God? Am I carrying his presence everywhere I'm going? Am I just coming into church and then leaving? Or is my life one that welcomes the presence of God? Is my home one that welcomes the presence of the Lord? You know, something I've grown up with my parents have been so strong on is we protect the atmosphere in the home. We protect the presence of God in our home. You know, we were so careful what we watched, what we allowed on TV, what we allowed in music, what we listened to. You know, what we talked about, what kind of talk was allowed at our home. You were not allowed to talk in ways. And then we started sensing that people were we were getting agitated, and then there was strife. We would cut that, and Mom and Dad would come and say, no, we need to stop, and we need to regain the presence of God in this place, and we need to cut that out, and we need to get rid of that and cast that out. You know, the spirits of fear were not allowed in our house. And when you started feeling, that doesn't mean that, you know, you've never experienced being challenged by fear, but the spirit of fear was not allowed to remain in our home. And if it would come, we would stop. You know, the amount of times in our home, Mom and Dad would just say, that's it. Every TV, every music, every CD thing is turned off, and we're just putting worship on. Nothing else in this home, just worship, and we're letting the presence of God come. And, you know, as a kid, you're, you know, having an argument with one of your siblings, like, oh, I'm all agitated. No, I don't want to do this. And then suddenly the presence, you know, the worship would come, and you would feel the peace that comes with the presence. And suddenly that spirit of strife would leave. Suddenly that spirit of anger would be leaving the home. And, you know, that's something that I like to carry on in my own home now with my husband. And that's something we're trying to do, that we're trying to protect the presence of the Lord. Do it in my life. I'm trying to protect the presence of the Lord. You know, what is in my heart that is working against me being a carrier of His presence? What am I speaking that is working against me being a carrier of His presence? What am I listening to that might be working against that? But saying, Lord, You are welcome. You are welcome in my heart. You are welcome in my home, and I can be a carrier of Your presence. So that's number one we can do. Number two, we can raise our expectancy. Number one, we can make sure we are welcoming. Number two, we can raise our expectancy to say, Lord, I am stepping out in faith. And I'm not just, you know, I'm just not walking around with the glory and saying, ooh, just let it go out for me, let it go out for me. No, I'm an active part. I'm looking, I'm putting my faith, I'm praying. Every community, every place I step into, I'm saying, Lord, let me be an influence. Lord, every grocery store I go into, Lord, let me be an influence. Let me be ready. Let me be ready. Every time I'm walking down the street, let me be a carrier of Your presence. You have no idea. That day Peter and John walked down, they had no idea. That was the day. That was the day. They could have walked right on past that beggar. They could have walked right on past. Or they were ready. They were carrying the Spirit and they were their presence, and they were ready. They were ready to influence. They were ready to bring life. They were ready to bring the spirit of life. They were ready to bring dead things back to life and restore to life everywhere they go. You know, the amount of times in Acts where Peter, just full of the presence of God, suddenly where he is, stops and preaches to the masses. He was ready. He was carrying the presence, and he was ready to bring influence. Am I raising my expectation? Am I looking for opportunities to bring the influence? Am I putting my faith and saying, Lord, I'm expecting to bring change? Am I expecting to bring influence? As Caleb said before, it's not just the pastors to say, go Pastor Peter, go Pastor Christine, influence this community, we're behind you. Amen. Woo! Going out, but make sure you're back on Sunday because I need my basking time. Please, please just make sure you're here back. I need time. No, we're saying, oh, we're carrying it. Thank You, Lord. You know, I'm not saying don't come to Sunday morning church. No, that is so important. Coming together as a body, you know, is of the uttermost importance, to come, to join together, to have that sense of, Lord, I'm connecting to You. I'm praising You. We're worshiping together, and I'm getting strength, and I'm getting strengthened. But then when I step out here, I'm going, oh, I'm charged. I'm charged on a Sunday, and I'm coming out, and I'm ready to influence the community. I'm signing up to Brekkie Club. I'm signing up to whatever there is. I'm going, I'm looking for opportunities to influence. I'm looking in my workplace. My workplace should be different because I'm there. You know, we had a great testimony last year in our life group where one of our members was saying that his workplace in COVID should have absolutely failed and maybe gone into bankruptcy. But he said that the boss kept saying, I don't understand, but we're actually getting more business than we've ever got before. We're actually getting more business. And we're talking about the fact of where we are, because this guy in the life group was there. He was carrying the anointing for favor. He was carrying the presence for increase. He was carrying the presence for the Lord for provision. And because he was in that workplace, because he was there, that was influencing his place. Take him out of it, and I believe that workplace would have gone into bankruptcy during COVID. But because he was there, he was bringing the life. He was bringing the influence, and things would change because of it. I'm going to invite you to stand for a moment. Worship team, you can come on out, come on up. We're going to be finishing in a few minutes. But I don't want us to leave it right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are carriers of his presence. We are carriers. Because his presence is in the midst of us, there will be influence on the outside. There will be influence on the outside. Thank you, Lord. Maybe just pray for a moment. Are you hungry for influence? Pastor Ricky had such a passion and burden for revival. I heard him. I saw him, the passion, and he saw revival in Australia. He saw it. He prophesied it. And I'm saying, church, you be excited because we're living in the days. We're living in the days where we will see it. We're living in the days. Get excited, church. The opportunity is there for you to be a part of it. The opportunity is there not for you just to see revival in Australia. The opportunity is there for you to be a part of bringing it, to be a part of bringing and carrying and revival in this eastern region. The opportunity is there, but will you take it? Will you take it? In the name of Jesus. You know what? I see some people, it's like, well, I don't, you know, that sounds like a lot of work. I just want to go to work and go home. I don't want to have to do anything else there. Well, you know what? You can go to work and you can go on home. But that means you don't get to be a part of experiencing the miracle when a man who is lame for his whole life comes to life and is walking and leaping and praising God. That means you don't get to be a part of the time you walk down to the shops and there's somebody there, you have no idea that they're planning on ending their life, but you just come on up and in that right moment you just have a conversation and you minister love and their destiny and their life is changed forever because of your interaction. You know, you can just go to the shops and go home and that's fine, but you don't get to be a part of that miracle. You don't get to experience the joy of seeing life restored. You don't get to be a part of the joy of seeing someone coming to life again. Also, I got to see the Lord's not forcing you to be an influence. Carrying his presence is the most amazing honor and privilege to be a carrier of his presence. When I think that the King of Glory is willing for me to be a carrier of his presence, wow, wow. So instead of sitting on my little high note and saying, oh, all right, Lord, I'll carry it on Monday. Monday's my influence day, Lord. Oh, why bother? What an attitude against the Lord. What a sad attitude against the Lord. How about saying, Lord, do I have to, you have to step into my plan. I had a plan for today. I had to, I had a plan. All right. If you got to, all right. If I've got to take 5 minutes out to stop here because the Holy Spirit's telling to me, fine, I will. But if I'm late to work, it's on you, God. You know, off. All right. No. Get off our high horse. Get that attitude out of there. Kick that out. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. It is an honor. Oh, God, I'm sorry for any time when I know I have. I've had a bit of an entitled pride. Prideful. All right, Lord, I'll let you use me right now. All right, Lord, I'll let you have the privilege of me being your, you know, being your vessel today. Oh, no. No, Lord, it is an honor. Oh, Lord, no, it is an honor to carry your presence. To be a carrier of your glory is an honor that you have given us. And, Lord, I'm sorry for the amount of times I've been walking and I haven't even been aware that right now I'm carrying your presence and I'm not even believing and I'm not even putting my faith out there to see influence around me. But, Lord, I thank you, God, that you can awaken my heart. You can awaken my spirit. So I'm so aware. I'm so aware that my house and my heart is welcome for your presence. And two, I am constantly ready to influence. I'm constantly ready to influence. We're not the ones that bring the influence. Like I said before, it's not me. It's his presence. Like we said, I'm not saying do better. Do better. Come on, influence more. No, I'm saying release control and tap into the spirit that was within you. And I'm saying, realize what's within you. Realize what's within you. It's not me that brings influence. Oh, it's the Spirit. You know, if there was a lady that I'm talking to at a grocery store who I don't realize is planning on ending her life, it's not my conversation that stops it. It's coming. Oh, and it's the presence of the Lord that brings healing and wholeness and awakening. It's not even my words. It's the Lord ministering His power and His love to that person. It's Him bringing it out through us. In the name of Jesus, I would love to say, people, those that have gone before us have seen this, have preached it. And I want to say, yes, I'm taking up the mantle and I'm marching on with it. And I'm going further than they were ever even able to go in their life. I'm reaching further. Jesus said, go beyond what I've done. What you've seen me do this, go and do more. You know, the miracles that we're not restricted to the miracles that Jesus performed. He said, it was the Spirit. He said, go and do greater. Go and do greater things in my name. There are miracles the earth hasn't even seen yet that God is wanting to do through us. There are miracles that are not even recorded in the world, the Word, because they were for us to go. It was the Spirit in there. And He says, go. Go and do greater. Go and influence this community and this eastern region. There is a mandate on us to do that. There is a prophetic direction. And I'm saying, Lord, yes. Wake up my sleeping soul. Wake up my sleeping spirit. Oh, and let that Spirit of life, let me bring life. Let things come alive around me everywhere I go. I'm gonna challenge you with that today. And we're gonna sing a song. In a moment, I know at the time we're going to be finishing in a minute. But there's a song which I felt actually birthed this whole meeting out when I listened to this song a few months ago. There was a song that was one of my grandpa's favorite songs. And we sung it so many times when he would lead worship at church. He loved this song and he would sing it over and over again. And we wanted to sing this song because not just because it was one of his most treasured songs that he loved to lead at church, but because there's a phrase in it that says, marching on, marching on, marching on. His truth is marching on. And I felt like that was like a challenge for us today to say the mandate and the call that came through Grandpa, that came through the church, to be an influence, to be carriers of His presence, to bring revival to this nation, to bring revival to this eastern region. I felt the Lord was saying, will you march on with that? Will you march on with that message? Will you march on with those that have gone before and those that are ahead? Will you march on with that mission? Will you march on with that truth, with that Spirit? I would love Grandpa, I don't know how it works in the heavenlies, but I would love him and Grandma to see, look down from heaven and see that His church is marching on with that which He saw in His Spirit, with that mandate, but not just continuing on and on, but taking it and growing it and going further and further through Pastor Peter and Christine, who God has given the anointing to take that. And then us with them saying, Lord, we are marching on with that. We are taking it. We're taking it and influencing our community with it. So I invite you, they're going to... the team are going to lead us in this song, and I'd love you, you might know it, you've probably heard it before, to sing it along, but to do it with the heart, to say, yes, Lord, we're marching on. Yes, Lord, we are marching on with this, and make a commitment in your own heart.